ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికీ కృష్ణే స్వధామోపగతే ధనమజ్ఞానాదిభిః సహ కలౌ నష్టదృశామేష పురాణార్కోధునోదితః. గ్రంథరాజ శ్రీమద్భాగవతం క్యాంటో 5 చాప్టర్ 17. దిస్ ఇస్ chapter is entitled Descent of the River Ganges. So we'll read the chapter summary, which is quite a bit. The 17th chapter describes the origin of the Ganges River and how it flows in and around Ilavratvarsha. There is also a description of the prayers Lord Shiva offers to Lord Sankarsana, part of the quadruple expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where is Ilavratvarsha? Maybe we need to orient ourselves, because this chapter cannot be understood without reference to the previous chapter, in case we were wondering when we were hearing about all these rivers of ghee and heavenly damsels and gold washing up on the shores and fruits, jumbo fruits the size of elephants. We may have been wondering, why is all this relevant? We really can't understand the descent of the river Ganges unless we have a sense of the context in which this is happening. So Ilavratvarsha, we have three planetary systems, first of all. There's the Svarga system, which is the celestial regions. We have the earthly regions, which are called Bhoma, and then we have the lower planetary systems. And actually there are, in each of these planetary systems, there are heavenly planets. Sometimes we assume or we hear that the higher planetary systems are only above Earth, but that's not true. These heavenly planets are only above Earth. That's actually not true. There is the Divya Swargas, there's the Bhoma Swargas, and then there's the Bila Swargas. Three kinds of heavenly places within the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. So when we were hearing in the last chapter about all the various kinds of wonderful facilities that are there, heavenly facilities that are available in these other places, that's because in Jambudweep, which is the center island of the seven dweeps that form the middle planetary system, Jambudweep is in the middle. And in Jambudweep, it's divided into nine varshas. And this Bharatvarsha was formerly known as Ilavratvarsha. Now we call it Bharatvarsha after Bharat Maharaj. We remember in the past few chapters we've been reading not only about Bharat Maharaj, but about even his descendants as well. Now, Maharaj Parikshit was very curious about this. He wanted to hear more about this. It's not what we would consider necessarily to be a spiritual question, but he was curious. He was that eager to hear, because when we have a sense of context here, then we can place ourselves within that context. When we can understand how vast is the Lord's creation and just how Krishna has organized everything within that creation, then we get a better sense of how insignificant we are. We get a better sense of Krishna's majesty. This is called Aishwarya Gyan, and at least in the beginning of devotional service, it's actually necessary. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita about this? He says, one who knows in truth this glory and power of mine engages in devotional service, strong devotion, without a doubt. So in order for us to become doubtless, we actually have to hear about these things. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was very eager to hear about this. And he asked, even though it seems like it was maybe a little bit off of the topic, because the flow of the discussion had gone from a description of Bharat Maharaj's devotional service and the glory of his descendants into the forest of material enjoyment. He was talking about that. And just after that, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know more about this Bhumandala. So we've already described Bhumandala is divided into these seven dvipas, seven islands, and the middle one, Jambudvipa, the center island, that is divided into nine varshas. And in eight of those nine varshas, it's very heavenly facility. These are not higher planetary systems. These are Bhoma regions, Bhoma varshas. But they have this wonderful facility. Those varshas are separated from each other by mountains, such as the Himalayan mountains. Now, Bharatavarsha, formerly known as Ilavratavarsha, it's on the southern, you can say the southern coast of Jambudvipa, the middle island. And we've heard about how the Ganges is flowing in the last chapter something, and there's more in this chapter, of course. But the Ganges is flowing from the top of Sumeru, and it divides up into different quarters, and it flows north, east, south, west. We're in the southern quarter. Bharatvarsha is located, it's like one of the states. We have in North America, the United States, divided into 50 states, so Bharatvarsha, you can say, is one of the states there. And not in a political sense, but in a geographic sense. We've already described they're separated by various mountains. These things have all been described in the previous chapter. That's why it's relevant, because we won't be able to understand what's going on in this chapter until we have a frame of reference from the last chapter. So anyway, Lord Shiva is there in this Ilavratavarsha. I'm not exactly sure where he is in Ilavratavarsha. Maybe someone else knows. We can talk about it later, but let's continue with the chapter summary. So the 17th chapter describes the origin of the Ganges River and how it flows in and around Ilavratavarsha. There is also a description of the prayers Lord Shiva offers to Lord Sankarsana, part of the quadruple expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in each of these regions, there is a separate expansion from the Chaturvyuha that is predominantly worshipped. There is Vasudev Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Hayagriva, Narasingha, several others. I don't remember all the names, but they will be described here. So Lord Shiva in particular is worshipping Sankarsana here in Ilavratavarsha. So Lord Vishnu once approached Bali Maharaj while the king was performing a sacrifice. The Lord appeared before him as Trivikrama, or Vamana, and begged alms from the king in the form of three steps of land. In the Laghu Bhagavatamritam, I'm just adding this, Rupa Goswami describes that there are three forms of the Lord which are the most prominent of all of his forms. Does anyone know what those are? Krishna, of course, is number one, Ram, and also Narasingha. It would seem to me, I don't know, this is just my impression, it would seem to me that Lord Vamana is a close fourth, because he's very prominent in many ways. In many ways, he's very prominent. But anyway, here's one of them. He actually kicked a hole in the covering of the universe. With two steps, Lord Vamana covered all three planetary systems that we've already described, the Divya regions, the Bhoma regions, and the Bila regions. Two steps. He had no place to place his third. And he pierced the covering of the universe with the toes of his left foot. left foot. A few drops of water from the causal ocean leaked through this hole and fell on the head of Lord Shiva, where they remained for 1,000 millenniums. A few drops of water, just think about this. How many billions and billions of gallons of water are in the Ganges? But this is just a few drops of water that's out there in the ocean. Which ocean? Yeah, the causal ocean, Karanodaka. So, because there are different oceans. So there's just a few drops of the water from this Karanodaka came in after Lord Vamana's toenail pierced the coverings of the universe. And it fell on the head of Lord Shiva, and it remained there for a long, long time. A millennium is, what's that called? A Divya Yuga, isn't it? All the four cycles. So 1,000 of those, that's a long time. We know Kali Yuga is 432,000. The previous yuga is 864. The previous yuga is twice that and twice that in such yuga. So 1,000 times all that. Long, long time. So these drops of water are the sacred Ganges River, Ganga Devi Ki. It first flows onto the heavenly planets, which are located on the soles of Lord Vishnu's feet. The Ganges River is known by many names, such as Bhagirathi and Jahnavi. Anyone know why? Why do we call the Ganga Bhagirathi? That should be pretty clear if anyone has read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because Bhagiratha is responsible for facilitating the Ganga's service to this world. Her devotional service to Lord Vishnu is to purify all the residents of this world. And Bhagirathi Maharaj brought her there. Now, at one point, her progress, her flow, dhara, was checked. Checked by whom? Janhu Muni. What did Janhu Muni do? What happened? Ganges, if you live in Mayapur, you know the Ganges sometimes floods over and your house gets submerged. I remember one year, even Lord Narasingha deity was also submerged in the Ganga because of the flooding. And Radha Madhava, they said, was maybe waist deep. So Ganga sometimes does this. Now, when she did this to Janhu Muni, Janhu Muni became very upset, and he cursed the Ganga. He didn't curse the Ganga, he actually drank the Ganga. He said, all right, if you want to flood my ashram, then I'm going to end your existence. He drank the entire Ganga. Now, from Lord Vishnu's perspective, this is just a few drops of water, but from our perspective, this is billions of gallons of water, oceans, as if it were, of water. And he drank all of it. Later on, it came out through his ear, it said. Therefore, this name comes, Jahnavi, descending from Janhava Muni, born of Janhava Muni, through his ear. So, she has different names like this. Ganga is maybe the most famous. So, it purifies Dhruvaloka and the planets of the seven sages because both Dhruvaloka and the sages have no other desire than to serve the Lord's lotus feet. So Ganga is actually, in some places, Ganga is also considered to be the consort of Lord Vishnu. Lakshmi, Saraswati, and Ganga. These are the three wives of Lord Vishnu, some say. So first, the Lord Vamanadeva kicks this hole in the universe. Not exactly kicks it, but he just pricks it a little bit and some drops come in. That becomes the heavenly, the sacred Ganges River. These drops fall on the head of Lord Shiva. When they drip from the head of Lord Shiva, they come to Dhruvaloka. And then after Dhruvaloka, then they go to the planets of the seven great sages, which are above the earth but below Dhruvaloka, because Dhruvaloka is on the top. So the Ganges River, emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, inundates the heavenly planets, especially the moon, and then flows through Brahmapuri atop Mount Meru. Now, those who were listening, in the last chapter we know, where is Mount Meru? In which part of Bhumandala do we find Mount Meru, also called Sumeru? It's in the middle of Jambudvipa. Jambudvipa, I mentioned already, is the center island of the seven dvipas that form Bhumandala. Jambudvipa is the middle one. And within Jambudvipa, we have these different varshas we already mentioned. Ilavrata Varsha, where Lord Shiva lives, is in the middle, and Mount Sumeru is in the middle of that, you can say. And on top of Mount Sumeru, you have the abode of Lord Brahma, called Brahmapuri, and the demigods' abodes are surrounding that. This is the description in the Bhagavatam. So, the Ganges River, after going through the planets of the seven sages, then it comes to the moon planet. And after going to the moon planet, then it falls on Brahmapuri, atop Mount Meru. So how does the Ganges come from the celestial regions, from the planets of the Saptarishis? How does it come down to Bhumandala? How does it come to this, not Bhumandala, but this where Brahma lives? Anybody remember? Airplanes. That's pretty psychedelic, isn't it? This is another one. This is just like the flying eagles who pick up elephants and cart them off and eat them. So this is they take them in many, many golden pots and many celestial airplanes, and they transport from the higher planets down to this Bhumandala. Somebody does that service also. Just as Bhagirathi Maharaj, he brought the Ganga here to Bhoma, we can say Bharatvarsha. So similarly, there are some minor demigods who are transporting the Ganga from the higher planets to Brahmapuri. Now, once it falls on Brahmapuri atop Mount Meru, then the river divides into four branches. And these four branches are known as the Sita, the Alakananda, Chakshu, and Bhadra. Now, these flow in different directions. Which one do we have in this world, in this Bharatvarsha in which we are living? Alakananda. This is the southern, flowing from the southern side of Mount Sumeru into Bharatvarsha, and then we get it. Now, if you go to India, you can bathe in the Ganges. It's there, and it's there because it's flowing from the southern end of Jambudvipa, you can say, through Bharatvarsha. So Sita, Alakananda, Chakshu, and Bhadra. Ganges is purifying all the worlds, all the entire Jambudvipa, all the different varshas. Ganges is purifying. So then they flow from, Alakananda comes down in the Himalayas. Anybody here ever been to Haridwar, Rishikesh? Some people, the Vaishnavas, call it Haridwar, and the Shaivas call it Haridwar. Either way it works. So Haridwar is the beginning where the Ganges comes into this world. Above that, they call it Alakananda. And below that, they call it Ganga or Bhagirathi. So that's why they call it the Dwar. It's like the Dwar to the higher regions. So then after flowing through what's modern-day Uttar Pradesh and Bihar and Bengal, then it flows into the salt water ocean that we've already heard about in the last chapter, salt water ocean. So the branch known as the Sita flows through Shekhara Parvata and Gandhamathana Parvata. These are the hills that are there, that are separating different varshas or that are found within them. And after reaching Ketumala Varsha, it mixes with the ocean of salt water in the west. So the Sita goes west. In the branch known as the Bhadra flows onto Mount Meru, Mount Kumuda, the Nila, Shweta, and Sringavan mountains before it reaches Kurudesha. There it flows into the ocean of salt water in the north. Okay, that's the Bhadra. So Bhadra flows north, Sita flows west, Alakananda flows south, and the Alakananda branch flows through the Brahmalaya, crosses over many mountains, including the Hemakuta and Himakuta and then it reaches Bharatvarsha. Himakuta, it sounds like Himalayas, doesn't it? I'm not exactly sure, but it sounds like that. Then it flows into the southern side of the ocean of salt water. Many other rivers and their branches flow through the nine varshas. The tract of land known as the Bharatvarsha is the field of activities, and the other eight varshas are for persons who are meant to enjoy heavenly comfort. So this Bharatvarsha, it's also called Karma Bhumi. What does Karma Bhumi mean? The place where you engage in action. Actions that matter, you can say. That's the real definition of the word karma. Actions that matter. Actions that will have some sort of reaction. Because when you go to the higher planetary systems, or from this description it would appear, even if you go to the other varshas within Jambudvipa, within Bhumandala, it seems as if you're not generating new karma as much as expending whatever you've done in the past. This is what happens when you take birth as a demigod. And when you take birth as a lower species, you also don't accrue more karma, you just burn off bad karma. So, urdham gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishtanti rajasaha jaghanya gunavrittistha tamo adho gacchanti tamasaha. Those who are in the mode of ignorance, they go down, Krishna says in chapter 17 of Bhagavad Gita. Those who are in the mode of passion predominantly, they stay put. They have horizontal movement only. And those who are in the mode of goodness, they go up. So those who are sattvic, they can take birth as devas, and they burn off their pious activities through heavenly enjoyment. Those who are tamasic, they take birth as animals or as demons, and they burn off bad karma and suffer. And those who are predominantly passionate, they have both here in this middle world. So, but in this Bharatvarsha in particular, it's a special place. Because here you can do what we call dharma. Dharma means karma, as we've described many times. So, karma means responsible action for which you will get a pious result. Of course, this is not the ultimate goal of life. This is just the first goal of life, dharma. Naturally, from dharma comes artha, that we've described. Those who are living in the other varshas in Jambudvip, and those who are living, well, in any heavenly planet, it would seem, they have the results of this dharma in the form of artha, facility. Artha means facility. When we misuse our independence, the facility is withdrawn or restricted. When we properly utilize our independence, when we work responsibly and submissively, then we're given more facility. Just like when you go to work. If you do nicely, then they promote you. If you don't do nicely, then you stay put or they ask you to leave. They give you the pink slip. So this world is working in the same way under the direction of Durga Devi. Therefore, sometimes it's also called Devi Dham. Devi Dham. We see the picture of Durga riding on a tiger, and she has a trishula, trident. Each of the tips of that trident, they represent the three miseries of material existence, tapatraya. And she's pinching, she's poking at us, all those who are to the extent that we partake of the demoniac spirit, to that extent we feel the poking of this trident. That's Durga's service. Ganga has her service. The demigods who transport her have their service. Bhagiratha Maharaj had his service. We also have our service. Jarite ki tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amara gyan guru hain tare desh. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that the Krishna Katha that is coming from the mouths of the devotees, that is just like the Ganga, just like the cooling, sweet, golden waters of the Ganga, purifies us of all the contamination of material existence. So dharma, artha, and then they enjoy their kama, that's what they do with their dharma, the ultimate fruit of their dharma is the artha, and with the artha, what do? They enjoy. That's been described already. It will be further described in the coming chapters. Particularly, they enjoy very advanced forms of romance. So, these are the heavenly planets of various kinds, upper, middle, lower. But the tract of land known as Bharatvarsha is the field of activities, and the other eight varshas are for persons who are meant to enjoy heavenly comfort. In each of these eight beautiful provinces, the celestial denizens enjoy various standards of material comfort and pleasure. They're not concerned, it would seem, about moksha, or not chiefly concerned with it. They're just burning off their karma. Now, a different incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributes his mercy in each of the nine varshas of Jambudvip. We've already described this, just like Lord Shiva's worshipping Sankarsana, and there is a description of this here in the fifth canto, how the residents of Jambudvip are worshipping different forms in these different varshas. Now Prabhupada is focusing here on Ilavrata Varsha. In the Ilavrata Varsha, Lord Shiva is the only male. There he lives with his wife Bhavani, who is attended by many maidservants. If any other male enters that province, Bhavani curses him to become a woman. Don't go there, guys. Lord Shiva worships Lord Sankarsan by offering various prayers, one of which is as follows. Quote, "My dear Lord, please liberate all your devotees from material life and bind all the non-devotees to the material world." Wow. Should we read that again? Lord Shiva worships Lord Sankarsan by offering various prayers, one of which is as follows. "My dear Lord, please liberate all your devotees from material life and bind all the non-devotees to the material world. Without your mercy, no one can be released from the bondage of material existence." End quote. That ends the chapter summary to this verse. So, shall we go on and read the first verse? I think there's quite a bit to talk about in the first verse. It's all about the glory of Mother Ganga, Ma Ganga, but it's getting late now, so please order me. Okay. I won't say much, but I cannot not glorify the Ganga because she's so wonderful, as I mentioned already, consort of Vishnu. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his pastimes, there are no pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, practically speaking, without reference to Ganga. She's so central in the Leelas of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as the Yamuna River is prominent in Krishna Leela, so the Ganga is prominent in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. So although the Shastra says Yamuna is spiritually more powerful than the Ganga, that's somewhat qualified here, because at least in Navadvip, if we want to enter into Gauralila, then the Ganga is central. And in fact, Ganga includes the Yamuna as well, because we know what happens. The Yamuna and the Ganga converge at Prayag. That place is called what? Triveni Sangam, in the middle of the Ganga and Yamuna. Then the Saraswati comes again from underground, three rivers, therefore it's called Triveni. Veni means a braid or a river. It flows there. And from that point on, the Ganga and Yamuna flowing together. Ganga and Yamuna are great friends. That's described in the writings of various self-realized acharyas and in the shastras in general. They're very good friends. So they join together in Mahaprabhu's Leela. On the western side is the Yamuna, and on the eastern side is the Ganga. But they're actually together. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he said, that in Bengal I have two mothers. Who are those two mothers? Anyone remember? One of them is obviously Shachimata in Chaitanya Charitamrita. She's called Ayi. And in Ganga, Shashi Devi is one of them, and the other one is Ganga, he said. So whoever speaks tomorrow can dilate on this. There are many, many, many wonderful things about Ganga. I would like to go on to the next verse, but we'll stop here. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhuji. I'll wait for the microphone. He'll bring it. There's a famous shloka. Devi Maheshwari Bhagavati Gange Tribhuvana Tarani Tarala Tarange Shankara Maulik Shikhamani Vimale Mamabhatir Astam Tavapada Kamale. Please play, keep your lotus feet in my consciousness. Devi Maheshwari Bhagavati Ganga. You purify all the worlds.
We learn in school.
You have lotus feet, you purify the worlds, Shankara Mauli Shikhamani Vimale, and you decorate the head. You are the crest jewel on the head of Lord Shiva. Yes, your question.
We learn in school the longest river in the world is the Ab Irtysh. It flows north out of the Himalayas to the North Pole, and then south out of the Himalayas is the Ganga.
Yes.
And then that's Everest and Nepal and that. How do we relate that to Mount Meru?
Repeat this question, because the first half I didn't catch.
But the Ab Irtysh is the longest river in the world. It flows north out of the Himalayas. It cuts Siberia in half, and it flows to the North Pole. And then south out of the Himalayas is the Ganga.
Okay.
So that's Mount Everest, Nepal, and Kathmandu. But how do we relate that to Mount Meru?
Well, we've discussed the southern descent of the Ganga from Mount Meru already, so maybe you're asking me to describe the northern flow of the other river that you mentioned?
Well, I just don't understand how to relate Mount Meru to Mount Everest.
Okay, yeah. I mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentions here, 1 minute. The Alaknanda branch flows through Brahmalaya, crosses over many mountains, including the Hemakuta and the Himakuta, and then reaches Bharatavarsha, where it flows into the southern side of the ocean of salt water. We know that the Ganges that you can find in modern-day India is this Alaknanda River after it has crossed through Haridwar and come into Bharatvarsha and flows into the river of, or into the ocean of salt at Ganga Sagara in Bay of Bengal. Therefore, it would seem that the many mountains through which Prabhupada describes that this river is flowing, including Hemakuta and Himakuta, would be the Himalayan mountains, because Himakuta means the same thing as Himalaya. It's synonymous. Means mountain of snow, peak of snow. Himakuta would be the golden mountain. Himakuta would be the snow mountain. That's my postulation. If somebody knows better, please correct me. Is that okay? Anything else? Okay. Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.